Okay, good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of God. You know, Sundays is actually the first day of the week. You know, I want to applaud all of you for the first day of the week, the first morning you come to the house of the Lord. Give yourself a clap. You know, it's powerful to lead ourselves to the house of God the first day of the week. We dedicate ourselves to God. So every Sunday, as you wake up, remember you want to give it to God by coming to this house to worship Him with your brother and sister in Christ. So we are on this series of perfect peace of mind. Okay, this is the third sermon of the series. The first sermon, Pastor Sean preached to us on the promise. The promise for every believing, Bible-believing Christian is perfect peace of mind. Last week, Pastor Jason shared with us the second sermon, that the practice of having our mind on God, exalting Jesus in our thoughts. Today, I'm going to share with all of us on loving God with all our mind. Okay? All right. Well, this is found in Matthew 22, verse 37. The Pharisees want to test Jesus. He came to Jesus and asked, "What is the great law of all?" So Jesus answered. That's why we find Matthew 22, verse 37. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." The mind is an essential part of our being. Let's talk a bit about our mind. The mind is a seat of consciousness and identity. It is a source of self, your memory, your personality, your identity. All right? It's a command and control center. The mind wired the brain ultimately control our body, be it voluntary or involuntary. Voluntary, our speech, our movement, involuntary, okay? Our digestion, our heartbeat. The mind also holds our cognitive abilities. It is in the mind where we think, we process information, we problem solve, we plan, all right? And that's why your company pay you to do your job, okay? And we have this mind-body connection. Your minds influence your physiological state. Positive mindset will bring about health. Negative thoughts will contribute to stress and illness. And this is medically proven. Lastly, the mind is where we make decisions that affect our behavior. The mind, the decisions that come from the mind will affect our emotion, affect our motivation, right? Affect the outplay of our behavior and mannerism. And it shapes our destiny. It shapes our life. The mind is a crucial part of our life. Let's look at the Bible. What the Bible recorded on the mind? 160 times, okay? In New Testament, if you talk about mind, think, and thoughts. And in the Old Testament, the process of thinking, like imagination, understanding, meditation, okay, wisdom, all those words that describe the process of mind was mentioned hundreds of times. The Bible has a lot to say about our mind. Today we want to dive into what Paul has to say, okay? Paul is one of the major contributors of New Testament. He wrote so many epistles, okay? Paul in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians verse 10, 3 to 5. Let's read it together. You ready? Okay, read aloud. 1, 2, 3, go. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." Pause. "We do not go for an eye for an eye." Okay, a tooth for a tooth. Am I right? That means you harm me on the day one of the month, I will come back to you on day 15. Right? Yeah, that was what the world does, but not us. Okay, let's continue. "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, They have divine power to demolish stronghold. We demolish arguments, every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Very blatantly, Paul is trying to tell us our mind is a battlefield. Look at the words that he used to describe the mind, the activity of the mind. The word in red, argument, pretension, knowledge, thought. And it's a battlefield because the words in green is words of combat, battle, warring. Like wage war, weapons, fight, power to demolish strongholds, demolish, take captives. Those are words of really foe fighting each other. Okay? So today, I want to bring about two awareness as we go on 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Awareness number one, our mind is a battlefield. Right? Awareness number two, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. Well, if our mind is a battlefield, what is a battlefield all about? Is it to eat chicken rice or to eat nasi lemak? To lie down more or to get out of bed? Or what else? To hang out with who after church? It's bigger than that. Our mind is a battlefield of truth and lies. Again, our mind is a battlefield of truth and lies. Who is our God? Holy Spirit. Sorry, I'm too fast. Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. In John 14, 15, 16, when Jesus introduced Holy Spirit, he always referred to Holy Spirit as spirit of truth. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. That is what Jesus said. And Jesus Christ, he himself, full of grace and truth, right? And in Isaiah 65, 16, our Father God, our God is a God of truth, right? The enemy, the Satan, is a father of all lies. John 8, 44, it says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Where he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. You can see there's two big opponents. Our triune God, full of grace and truth. The enemy, full of lies, right? They are of foe. They cannot exist together. And their objective is very different. Our God, out of his goodness, out of his truth, right, want to give us abundance life. But the enemies, his objective is to come, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. All right? Now, the elements of truth and lies encapsulated in words, be it words written, you read, be it words spoken, you hear, or be it words outplay around you that you perceive. And these words will form thoughts and perception and bring about a certain belief system. And this belief system will determine our behavior. Okay, let me give you an example. If a person growing up always encounter the experience of feeling precious, even words spoken over, or, you know, love notes or whatever appreciate notes written to her, precious. So she will form in her security. Her belief system will be, I am worthy. She will do life with confidence and steadiness. Where else, if a person always encounter the environment of being feel stupid, be it words spoken, being treated as such, this person will feel inferior. In him or in her will form the belief system that I am not worthy. People will pass me by. Okay? I'm always being sidelined. Then, in that person, the fear of rejection is very real, right? You'll bring forth social anxieties. So think about what you think about. This is a popular saying of Joyce Meyer in her book, Battlefield of the Mind. You are what you think. You can choose not to think in a certain way because a negative mind will not produce a positive life. You know a saying that goes by? You cannot stop a bird flying through you, but you can stop the bird from building a nest. It's the same with our thoughts, right? We got to not succumb to the lies of the enemy. Now you know our mind is a battlefield. Many thoughts that come to you, the source might be from the Satan, right? Think about what you think about. You are what you think. If you keep entertaining wrong thoughts, negative thoughts, condemning thoughts, the enemy will build a stronghold in your mind. He will take you captive. And you will always think in such a manner. All right? So the stronghold of mind basically is a false argument and lofty opinions that counter God's truth and are strongly defended and upheld. Well, stronghold is a fortified building. Well, this is the best image I can find. It's a castle, but it's not a Rapunzel castle where she dry her hair from the tower, okay? Neither is a castle that Cinderella tried to run away and left the glass, a sheet of glass. It's a castle, it's a fortified building where when a hostage is in there, when a person being held captive, it's very difficult to get out. In fact, it can be impossible to get out. And your rescuer might not be able to go in as well. All right? What are some of the strongholds of our minds? Let me read to you all. Let's take some time as I read this. As I go through this, perhaps God will drop thoughts to you as well. Some of the strongholds in our mind are unforgiveness and bitterness, pride and arrogance, procrastination and laziness, fear and anxiety, people-pleasing and fear of rejection, entitlement mentality, jealousy and envy, lust and sexual immorality, impurity and moral compromise, selfishness and self-centeredness, perfectionism and fear of failure, addiction and substance abuse, victim mentality and self-pity, self-condemnation and shame, control and manipulation, idolatry and love of worldly things, anger and unforgiving spirit, resentment and unforgiving heart, negativity and complaining, gossip and slander. With that, I want to bring you to awareness number two. Our weapons have divine power to demolish stronghold. That is who we are. Okay? Paul said, we have the weapons to demolish these strongholds. God didn't leave us helpless. All right? Now, then, what are our weapons? For me, our weapons are everything and anything come by in Christ and through Christ. The complete package deal of the gospel is at the cross. Jesus conquered sin and death. And he disarmed all principalities of the darkness. So, some of the weapons, identity in him. Identity is something very powerful. We act out of our identity. Just a simple analogy. You work for a company, you have your tag as an identity, and you can tag in, tag out of your office space. You can use whatever in the office, right? You so confident walk in and walk out from that company because you have the identity card. It's the same. We are confident because of this identity that God has given us. All right? We are the new creation, children of God, friends of God, co-heirs with Christ, ambassadors of Christ, more than conquerors, chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession, light and salt of the earth. servant of the Most High. What else? Our weapons. We have the privilege to commune with our triune God. We can invoke heaven and bring heaven down and cause supernatural intervention that is not man, that is of God, by our spiritual discipline. Word of God, spend time reading the Word of God, okay? Worship, fasting, prayer, and intercession. His providence in Christ and through Christ, we access to the armor of God, right? This is found in Ephesians 6, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shoe of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, sword of the spirit, prayers of all kinds. And of course, all of us, God bestowed upon us the spiritual gift. We can pray in the spirit, praying in tongue. We can sing in tongue. We can have dreams and visions where God spoke to us. And there's so many more. Community of faith. Spiritual gift as a corporate. There's so many more things. Here, I just list now, just a few. So, our weapons have divine power to demolish stronghold. Okay? Now, I want to go on to talk about Romans 12, 2. It's also from Paul. With this divine power that we have to demolish stronghold, we are all ready for transformation. So, Romans 12, 2 says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the Greek word for metamorpho, which is the word transformation, meaning to change into another form. Ultimately, all of us know God wants to transform us to be more like Christ. So this renewing of the mind, the objective is to have the mind of Christ. And this mind of Christ will lead you to really perfect peace of God. Not just peace, but perfect peace. That's really combined the process of transformation, renewing our mind. So to love God with our mind, transformation is a must. Because transformation enables us to take captives every thought to make it obedient unto Christ. It's also transformation that enables us to prove and lead ourselves to good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So, I want to briefly lead all of us to have an idea of what is transformation like. Okay? First and foremost, to kickstart our transformation, we encounter truth. What is truth? Truth is everything the Bible written for us. The scriptures that give us revelation. Truth is also the personification of Jesus. Because in John it says, the Word became flesh, full of grace and truth. And that's Jesus. As we encounter truth, we realize, oh my goodness, I have been subscribing to lies. So with that realization, we got to reject those lies. A big no. Lead ourselves to say, no, I'm not going to entertain that thoughts anymore. I'm going to reject that thoughts. Thoughts of lies, deception, and negativities. Interestingly, this morning, I woke up with a dream. So the dream goes something like, I participated in a small thing that gave me some kang tao. You know it's kang tao, right? Some advantages. Right? I participated. But thereafter, I was scammed. Very interesting, right? So I said, God, please. I woke up, oh God, please protect me, pray for me. You know, I pray for myself. Is there anything that I sin against you? But then as I ponder further, I want to let all of us know here, this is how the enemy works. It entices you, and you have that little open door, he'll come in with a foothold. That's how he could do, so-called, make himself enter into your life. And as you go by doing life, even though that is a little thing that you thought, aiyah, never mind lah, little bit only, I tell you, sooner or later, his whole being will be in you. So do not in any way thinking that small thing only. No, not at all. I am not going to entertain all this unnecessary greed, because a little bit of what is you take advantage of is actually enticement of the enemy, where it will be an open door for you to be trapped. And sadly, having a great loss further down the road. Most of the scam that happen nowadays is always give you a little bit of kang tao, a little bit of advantages. Alright? Don't be deceived. A big no. Okay? Lead yourself to that. Then, with that repentance literally, you turn away. You no longer going to look back or do those things. And you come before God. Ask God to forgive you. Right? And renew yourself. Renew your mind in the Lord. How do you renew? You build yourself in the Lord. Read the word of God. Read the truth that from God. And then lastly, as you continue to journey life, put faith and trust in the word that God has so convicted you. And daily, because things will still happen, matters will still come to you, thoughts will still flying over your head, you realign yourself, always realign yourself back to the truth. Let me give you my example. A season ago, about 2 months back already, you know, Pastor Tim's had passed for more than 1.5 years. So, as a single parent in the house, I have to make a lot of decisions, be it family decision, children well-being, finance, even ministry. Just so many things. It used to be like, both of us, we can process, you know, talk about it. Some of the difficult ones, I just throw it to him, so he make the decision. Now it's on me. I started to get concerned, where I worry I make wrong decision. And that concern, that worry slowly become fear. What if? What if I don't do this? What if I? So many what if. Till one morning, I just sat down with God and I bring all this unto the Lord. God, in His grace and mercy, ask of me, what will be the antidote of your this thought? It's like awaken. Yeah, I've been entertaining for a few days. Yeah, how come I never come to you? Then the thoughts came again. I am the door. Whoa, I am the door. Yeah. Then the words slowly come back to me. Jesus said, I am the door. Okay? Those who enter by me will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Yeah. In my uncertainty, in my much concern, and in fact become fear, God reminded me, He is the door. I, in every situation that I don't know how, I can pray to Him. I can ask of Him. And His promise is, I will go in, I will come out, and I'll find pasture in Him and through Him. That brought me so much comfort. And I continue to walk in that promise, because a few days later, I still have situation. But I lead myself to have that quiet of heart and remember, He is the door. That is John chapter 10, verse 9. You know what is John chapter 10, verse 10? I come to give you life and life more abundantly. But the enemy has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Right? This is who our God is. Do not let the enemy win the battle in your mind. Do not let the enemy take captives of your thought and build a stronghold. Do not. You have a God that's full of truth, that promises you abundant life, more than a conqueror, perfect peace of mind. Amen? Amen. I want to read to you a testimony today. You all are in for a treat. beside this testimony, later I'm going to invite our guests to come here for a simple interview. I can find this testimony because God is really at work in our midst. This testimony is from a lady who is from this church. And here you are. I'm going to read it to all of us. I am a depression survivor. I went through a very challenging season in my marriage. And I judged myself as a failure mother. Eventually, it led me into deep depression. For many years, I was on medication, yet the fear attack never stopped. For more than 10 years, I was trapped. In overwhelming emotion, I woke up with fear attack every single morning. I tried everything I could to get rid of that feeling, but I failed. I suffered from severe insomnia. Life was full of disappointment. And beside my children, I felt I have no purpose to move on. Suicidal thoughts came to me often. And it felt like I was constantly fighting between an angel and a devil deep inside. I knew I should not be irresponsible by ending my life. So I carried the pain silently. I accepted Christ as my Lord when He showed me the first miracle. One day, He miraculously took away the morning fear attack that had tormented me for the past 13 years. This happened unexpectedly, at a time when I thought I was only trying my luck in prayer. That was the first time I prayed to God, and He answered me. From then on, I knew He is a God of mercy. After that, God continued to lead me out of darkness. He strengthened my finances at the exact moment I needed help. He provided 3 special students to take my free slot, giving me extra 2.5K monthly income. By the way, she is a teacher by profession. Just the amount I needed for rental so I could move forward with important decision. He reassured me that my decision was the right one. Truly, He is my provider. I started reading the Bible. Okay? In the beginning, it was very challenging for an infant Christian like me. I didn't find it interesting, and many parts were hard to understand. But I tried my best to make it a habit, telling myself that I did not want to turn down my Savior. Slowly, something changed. Today, I feel peace when I read the Word. Even though I am still a toddler level, I just want to dwell in Him. Whenever I feel lost or when my mind is confused, talking to God brings me peace. Although the solution may not come immediately, I believe God has His own timing. In this world, our decisions are easily disturbed by many different voices, but I have chosen to follow God's word because only His truth brings clarity, peace, and direction. One verse that comforts me deeply is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Whenever I read this, I feel secure in His embrace. Today, the Word of God has become essential in my life because His Word guides my step. Romans 15:13 reminds me, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope and power of the Holy Spirit. These words assure me that God will always fill me with an abundance, joy, and hope. I still cannot believe how much my life has turned around after knowing God, a God who truly saved me. My life has changed completely. The tears I once cried in pain have now been replaced with hope and joy. Because of His grace, all glory goes to Him. You know, loving God with our mind. As per John 14:23-24, Jesus said to him, if anyone love me, he will keep my word. You know, when we say we love God, it's beyond just write a song to Jesus or do this good work, do that good work. It's clearly say that keep His word. Have that communion. Take time. Read, learn, obey His word. All right? And the promise is so beautiful. And my Father will love Him. And we will come to Him and make our home with Him. Maybe we can pray together. Let's all stand. Let's look to God. Just read by yourself for a moment before we all pray together. Okay, just take that 2-3 seconds just to read through this. Are you ready? Let's go. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. I want to love you with all my might. Amen.